Listen, if I'd known then what I know now, there would have been room in my inn. Oy vey, I would have given up my own bed. But I didn't know. How could I know, right? Bethlehem was so full of people. I mean, the government, they made everybody in the world go back to the hometown and register. You know, government has to have the money. And since nobody wants to stay with the in-laws, I'm full. I remember that day. We were full before dinner time, and now it's 2-3 hours after dinner when they show up. Talk about desperate. He was exhausted and scared, and she was about to burst. And as they're approaching my place, I'm thinking in my head, I know what I'll say to them. I'll say, I'm sorry, we don't have room. But by the time they get there, they just stand for a minute, gather their thoughts. He looks down, he's thinking. I notice she winces ever so slightly in pain. And he looks at me, and he says, please. That's all he said, please. Let me tell you a story. I'm 5 years old, right? I'm helping my mother set the table. I noticed that she has one too many plates. So I say to her, Ma, you got one too many plates. You know, and she says back to me, you never know who may show up. I look at her like, what? She walks over to me. She says, you never know who God may bring your way. You always make room. So I look back at the couple and I say to them, I don't know where we'll put you, but we'll make room for you. And we did. It wasn't the nicest room, but it's all I had to give them. Mom was right. You always make room.
Tonight we have gathered to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Tonight is a night that is filled with great joy and anticipation and the warmth of God's presence and God's light and love and hope for all people. Tonight we've heard a familiar story, one that has been passed down through the ages, one that is timeless. And it is a story that is foundational to our faith. And here's the thing, friends. If we don't tell the story, then who will? It's often been said that sometimes we can allow the occasion to be the proclamation. And tonight is one of those nights. This story of the first Christmas is not just something from the past, but a promise for the future, and a promise that still echoes in our midst and in our hearts and resounds deep from within our soul. From Elizabeth to Zechariah, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels, these are the portraits of Christmas that we have looked at in this season. And tonight as you came in, the air is a little colder and the noise around us is a little quieter and the lights tonight will burn even brighter. There's just something about this night that as we look again at the nativity and the portraits, it reminds us of the profound truth. And it reminds us that at Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, the moment when God took on flesh and dwelt among us. And we gather to celebrate that great love and grace and hope and mercy of a God who willingly laid aside heaven and all of the glory from it to be born in a humble circumstance, also that people might know his love and his grace and to be saved. Everything, every part of this nativity and these portraits of Christmas, including our portraits, play a role and have a part in this story. For over 400 years, the Israelite people had long waited for a Messiah, the one who was going to come and restore the people of Israel, restore a king like David. And our scripture begins with Caesar Augustus, right, calling together a census and calling for all people to go to their ancestral towns. And so Mary and Joseph, that meant for them traveling to Bethlehem from Nazareth. And this meant that they were going to travel over 100 miles on foot, maybe by donkey. And I'm sure they went pretty slow. So it might have taken about a week, because you don't want a baby to be born on the back of a donkey. Now, do you, right? I don't know if an in is much better. And that's what happened, right? Luke chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "And the time came while they were there for Mary to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Inns are not like Motel 6s or Holiday Inns, but they were dwelling places, guest house, or small family-run establishments. And bringing together all of these people in order to be registered in the census, that meant that Bethlehem, Nazareth, wherever you were in the Holy Land would be packed. And so this night, we focus on a story of a person who is not highlighted so much in Scripture. He goes unnoticed, the innkeeper. The Bible doesn't give us much detail about him, yet he plays a key role in this story. He had the opportunity to offer Mary and Joseph a room, a place to stay. And yet we hear that there is no room in the inn. Yet the innkeeper offers them a place in the stable, a humble, unglamorous location, making room in our lives and in our world for the Savior of the world is our call as well. Even if the setting isn't ideal in our life, like the innkeeper, it was a small gesture that had monumental consequences. So my friends, tonight and every night, you and I are like the innkeeper on that first Christmas. We're faced with the challenges of deciding whether we offer room for Christ to be in our hearts and in our lives, even amidst the busy schedule and the busyness of our lives. The portrait of the innkeeper reminds us that even when we feel that there is no hope, even when we feel that there is no room, God will still find a way in our lives. And God still shows up in our midst. Amen? May we make room in our hearts once more for Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Making room in our hearts is a willingness to open our hearts and to welcome him in, even into the messiness of our lives, and receive his light and his love that is good news of great joy for all people. Amen.
As we continue to review the life and the portrait of the innkeeper, let us dig deeper into what his life calls for us to do and what we do with his life when Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, or the expected Jesus, Mary and Joseph, showed up at his doorstep. Scripture doesn't give us much about this unknown person called the innkeeper. We don't know whether it was a he, a she. We don't know if they were the caretaker or whether or not they were the owner of the property or simply a manager. From what we do know is that he was one thing, present. That he was present at the moment to offer anything he had. And his life and his story and his response encourages us to offer what we have also. Scripture doesn't explicitly say that the innkeeper, again, was the owner of this particular inn. And we don't think that it quite matters. All it says is that in the biblical text, Luke chapter 2, verse 2 and 7 is that, "And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, Jesus, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, and there was no room in the inn." The assumption of the innkeeper comes from the mention in this particular scripture passage, "no room in the inn," implying that someone had to inform Mary and Joseph of this fact and possibly had to direct them to the stable, someplace that might have been suitable or where there was room for them to have and birth Jesus. Historically, the inn mentioned in Luke may not refer to a commercial inn as we may think of it, not your typical Holiday Inn or Hampton Inn and Suites, but rather a guest room or a lodging space that's hosted within a home. In that case, the person that turned Mary and Joseph and even Jesus away may have possibly been a homeowner or a host managing a crowded space as people are pouring into the town. And not just a professional person, but a person like me and a person like you. A person with a house to its name, or persons who is looking after a space and is simply being invited to make room. when there's asked the question, is there room for us? Whether the owner of this place or a caretaker, our role is unknown. His role is unknown. Her role is unknown. But what it represents is symbolic. It points us to Jesus and what Jesus and this story is all about. It calls for us to make room, whether it's from a place that is perfect or that we call perfect or a place that is less than ideal. You see, the idea here is that no matter what the circumstance is, our action is to simply make room. It doesn't have to always be a perfect place, and we don't always have to clean everything up or get it to the ideal state. Our call here is to just simply find a place, whether it is messy or ravaged, whether it's confusing, whether it has a shelter or not, just simply make room. The innkeeper was faced with the choice, and he chose to make room. And that one simple act of hospitality teaches us something profound. And I hope that it reigns and lingers in your heart in this Christmas season. And it's that God doesn't require perfection, at least not yet. But what God does require is simple availability. So you don't have to be perfect in this season. God's not looking for perfection. What God is asking for is availability, just like the innkeeper had. That we're available in our minds and our hearts, that we're available with our own means and resources so that God could show up when we need to, when there is no place. And when there's time for a table setting, just like the innkeeper said, to be laid out for someone, no matter who comes and fills in that empty space, it's an invitation for them. And it's also a notion to them that we've made room for you and you too are invited. So make room for Jesus this season. The word of God for the people of God.
Do you remember when we sang Joy to the World? In that first verse, the third line, let every heart prepare him room. Do you remember that? That's the invitation tonight, to let every heart here, every heart online, prepare room for Jesus. Put out the vacancy sign and leave a little room. That's what the innkeeper did. As Pastor Jeff and Pastor Donovan have said, the inn was full, but he made a little room, and Mary and Joseph took it. However small and imperfect that room was, it was enough for Jesus to be born there, placed in a manger, and move right in and start his life on earth with us. We are innkeepers too, of a sort. Innkeepers of our lives and hearts. We manage what we give space, what we give time, what matters most and what doesn't. We keep our own ends, so to speak, deciding that for which we will make room in our lives and what we won't. It's a hard call sometimes because life is an awful lot to juggle. Perhaps you've noticed, and it can get so full that faith just gets crowded out by everything else. Our overfull calendars, social media, screen time, disappointments, fears, worries, critics, prejudice, disease, addiction, anger, being too full of ourselves and not spending much time listening to others. And all the Christmas stuff, right? Christmas travel, Christmas family, decorations. It's great and it's a lot. And dealing with the challenges of being parents and raising kids and trying to make ends meet and put food on the table and have a career and tend to adult relationships. And it's exhausting. Or at least it can be. How do we keep our heads above water? Well, in at all of that to fullness, Mary and Joseph show up and want a room. And we want to say no, because there's barely room for us to sleep and rest and live within it. And it's one more thing for which we don't have time or space, but is it? Because Jesus comes in large part because of all that stuff. And we can't handle it on our own and aren't really meant to. So Jesus, like Mary and Joseph, comes and knocks and says, please, would you let me in? To be born in you, live life with you now and always to stay. Jesus thus needs a little room, a corner where he can come and get started in your heart and in your life. And he knows what it is to start in small, imperfect places. It's all he needs to break through. So how do we make room for Jesus? We say yes. We invite him in. And grace helps us to do that. And we don't have to have all the answers right now or even know all that it means. We've got time to grow in that. Tonight, maybe we put up a little less resistance and we trust him a little bit more and give him a little more room. And we lean in a little bit more into Jesus. So may our hearts be that manger tonight, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, breaks in and begins in the middle of everything, in the middle of each one of us, in the middle of our lives, in a relationship that can last forever. Thanks be to God. It makes all the difference. Let every heart prepare him room. May we all make room for Jesus. Amen.